Hi, everyone. Thank you for joining us for Horse Sense Street Smart Investing, the podcast. I'm Ron Corning, your producer. And here are our hosts, Craig and Clark Hodges of Hodges Capital Management. Hey, guys, good to see you.
Good to see you.
All right. We are talking CEOs and your money, and specifically, I guess, for lack of a better term, not just high profile CEOs who act as spokespeople, but the celebrity CEO. Craig, I'm going to start with you. A blessing or a curse for a company to have a celebrity CEO?
I thought you were calling me a celebrity CEO. Oh,
no, of the two of you, which of the brothers is more of the celebrity? Is really the question.
It's not me. I'm sorry, Ron. Start again.
You mean in reality or in our minds?
What do you think, Craig? Seriously, though, when you look at that issue of here's somebody who's really gaining traction, not just for what they do with the business, but for who they are.
Yeah. It's a double-edged sword. I mean, when Elon Musk could do no wrong, you know, and he's the smartest man ever on the planet, you saw people just jump on whatever he would do, and they just want a piece of that. And so that obviously plays very much into the success of Tesla and the things that he's been involved with. When he starts alienating part of his base, or, you know, what some would call his base, or part of, you know, half of his base, I guess, it's an issue because all of a sudden people that thought he was a hero now don't like him. And so do they sell their shares? Maybe.
Well, just because a CEO isn't likable or has exposed themselves as not likable, that could be completely mutually exclusive from the fundamentals of a company. But is that where the trap is, and that people don't know how to delineate the difference between the two?
Yeah, that's a big trap. And really, you know, for short periods of time, a stock can do anything. But ultimately, it's going to trade on their ability to generate free cash flow and earnings. And if a company never does that, it'll have a period that it's very popular and everyone wants to be in it. But eventually, it'll go down, and eventually it'll go to nothing.
So, Clark, what do you think in terms of, because I know you and I have had this discussion, and you believe we have points of disagreement here. And in the interest of full disclosure, I own Tesla stock and I haven't sold any of it. I don't like to see it go down when it goes down. But I don't think what's happening with Elon is a reflection of the fundamentals of the company, unless it gets to a point where I'm convinced his attention isn't solely focused where it needs to be. But then again, I don't know enough about how Tesla is run. How important is he to that operation?
Well, I think he's very important to the operation, probably not as important as he used to be when he founded the company. You got to keep in mind, celebrity CEOs were CEOs first, right? They became celebrities because they were successful, by and large. That's probably how you would see most of them. There could be some CEOs that are celebrities because they did something wrong. We've seen that. But he's a CEO that's been successful. And so from my standpoint, that should not change. He's probably got leadership in place that can pick up the slack, if you will, if he's not around as much. And the world's changing, and the markets where he sells cars is always changing. So I think in the long run, people will forget about Twitter and any Twitter mess that he got into, you know, in January of 2023 or whatever.
Also, I'd add that for situations where a stock goes up like Tesla and some of the meme stocks that we've heard that have been gotten so much attention, you really need a very good stock market in order for that to happen. Mm-hmm. You never see those stocks do that in a really negative bear market. And so there are certain stocks that do well in a bull market, and there are certain stocks that do not do well in a bear market. And most of the meme stocks and a stock like Tesla, which is revolutionary, you can't doubt anything about that. But the fact remains, the value of Tesla is more than all the U.S. manufacturers of cars in the world combined. So It's still an incredibly expensive stock, but it will probably always be expensive.
Well, and also, we know that Elon Musk owns any number of other companies that are innovating in any number of other ways. But in this politically divisive, social media-driven world where everyone in some form or fashion is involved with communicating through or getting information from Twitter, he's put himself in a place that I just happen to believe is just a little dangerous, or at least runs the risk of creating this sort of environment where, at least in the short term, it appears like his brand, his value is being diminished, and it could be reflected in the value of his stocks. Would you say to an emerging, I mean, I know these aren't conversations we have, but an emerging CEO, or would you believe that for the sake of a company's well-being, that CEOs in general should not tread into certain areas? Like, for example, in this culture we live in, where we are more politically divisive, sharing your political leanings or where you stand on certain political issues, that is dangerous, isn't it, to a company's value?
Yeah, it's very dangerous. And there's a lot of examples. Now, once again, typically those are short-term in nature. Mm-hmm. Ultimately,
the fundamentals of the business.
Yeah, ultimately, yeah, that's what's happened. And we've seen, you know, you've seen a lot of companies where, you know, they've become woke, if you will, and you'll see a lot of pressure on those companies. But you don't really, it's not going to be the end of the company just because they alienate half of, you know, kind of the political base.
Right.
You know, it makes people wrong. There'll be a lot of negative articles. In a case like Tesla, I guess you could say that there are some hard charging left leaning people that say, I will not buy a Tesla. And that, you know, it's hard to quantify what that is.
People are expressing and taking, right, you know, a stand,
right,
politically in ways that they believe are symbolic, if nothing else.
But in most cases, it is a mistake for CEOs to get into the political arena too far, mm-hmm, where they start alienating people and
to me,
really even employees. Sometimes, you know, I've heard Disney, I've heard BlackRock, I've heard several other companies that have made really hard political stands, the majority of their employees don't care for those things either. Mm-hmm.
So. They want to focus on the work and, right, the product and not become attached to having to lean one way or the other in order to feel like they're accepted at the company.
Correct.
That's a problem as well. Let me ask you this. Is the opposite true as well, that a company that's struggling and the fundamentals aren't great brings in somebody who's notable, recognizable, a celebrity CEO by that standard, and the stock reacts positively? Is that also often just a temporary situation until those fundamentals are fixed?
Yeah, you will sometimes see a 1 to 2 month event where you get a new management team in, especially if it's a high profile. That could even be bigger and last longer. But ultimately, like we keep going back to, ultimately it is the operations and the fundamentals and of the business. Is it a good business? Are they growing? Are they making money? Are the shareholders being rewarded? And that's ultimately what derives the stock.
I'm wondering if a couple of cases in point about attaching a lot of value on a CEO as it relates to the fundamentals of the company couldn't be made for example, Steve Jobs, when we knew he was ill. Right. With terminal, I think it was pancreatic cancer, and wouldn't live to see some of the innovations that he even had in the pipeline. In light of his death, the company continued to thrive and innovate. Does that speak to then the foundation that he put in place, the heir apparents that he put in place, the people who were in line to take over for him, not devaluing who he was or what he did, but just showing that the value of the company was even bigger than the man who founded it?
Well, Ron, you make a great example with Apple, because I remember when rumors were that Steve Jobs was dying, the stock tanked and people were really worried. And boy, has Cook done a great job. I mean, I don't think anybody expect him to.
Tim Cook has done
a phenomenal job. So a lot of people probably sold the stock because of Steve Jobs' health or passing. But that would have been a big mistake. And so that's a perfect example of that.
What about Disney as well? We have, you know, Michael Eisner was really a celebrity CEO in many ways. There wasn't a Disney film that you didn't see that he didn't have a message at the front end of it, or a Disney special on television. And yet Bob Iger came along, well known, maybe not as much of a celebrity CEO. And his absence ushered in someone who made some key mistakes in running the business. Bob Iger is back. Is Bob Iger kind of a combo special? He's the face of it and a great communicator, but obviously it would seem understands the fundamentals of Disney and how to do business, even in this new era, more so than the guy he's coming back in to replace.
Yeah, and this one remains to be seen. There was a couple day pop when it was announced that Eisner was back
Eisner was back.
But you've
he's
already
like, what? I'm coming back too.
Yeah, exactly. But you've already seen that kind of dissipate. And so really the messaging, you know, same thing with Starbucks and Schultz. You know, mm-hmm. they brought him back a couple different times, mm-hmm. and the stocks have always reacted to him coming back. But I know I'm saying the same thing over and over again, but ultimately it matters what happens in the business.
No, I think we're just reinforcing the point. Yeah. And that's important for people to reinforce the point or to put what's happening with Elon Musk in context. Although I have to say, I believe that he is representative of a whole new thing we've never seen before. We've never seen someone like him in many ways.
He's innovate, very unique.
He's very unique. Innovate the way he has.
Yeah.
Have the impact he had on cryptocurrency. Now have the impact he's had not just on how to run a business, but or who he is as a business person, but the way in which he might proceed with Twitter or not, kind of gives you a sense of how it can rile people up on social issues. I mean, that's very different than other CEOs. Like Lee Iacocca was the head of Chrysler, correct?
Yeah.
And was out there in front and became their celebrity CEO. But he never said, I'm going to venture over here and become the editor of a newspaper, and which would have been the equivalent, I suppose, of Twitter at the time, right? Like a newspaper, a place where now people can sound off and share views. And I'm going to get involved in a free speech business as opposed to making cars.
You know, it's interesting to me, and I may be going off script here, but it's in the Musk example we're talking about. It's very strange to me to see Musk being portrayed like he's being portrayed in the media, because I don't think there's anybody a year ago or even 6 months ago in the right side of the political that would have claimed him as theirs. You know what I'm saying? I mean, this is a pot smoking hippie, if you will, you know, kind of marches to his own drummer. There's not much that you could say about him that's right wing, but yet now he is being portrayed. So it's interesting just how that can change. I mean, that to me, that's very interesting how somebody that was beloved by so much on both sides now has been kind of cornered in
but,
an area.
But you know what, though? I think we're agreeing when I say this. We're just seeing it a little differently. I wasn't shocked because I saw him as we didn't know enough about him to know enough about him. He's unpredictable in nature. And that has lent itself, I think, to him seeing the world so differently that he's been able to innovate. But that doesn't mean you're right every time. It doesn't mean that you are immune from making.
And you're not going to agree with somebody right. every time. He's kind of right. a libertarian. You know, he kind of, you know, marches.
That's
to
what
his
I feel.
And
I
leave me alone. And this is what I do. And you know,
I think he has contrarian views from time to time, and sometimes is persuaded to change his mind.
Yeah.
I don't think we've seen this play out in its entirety. Do you, Clark?
No, I don't think we've seen it played out in its entirety. But I do think it's important to look at his history. And it's hard to believe that so many people are mad at him when what he's done for humanity in all of his businesses, SpaceX, power, electric power, and then cars, and electric cars, it's good for humanity. And so I just think that's, you know, he's going to continue to have that perspective, I would believe, mm-hmm. and try to bring that to Twitter. But yeah, it's going to be in the media for a long time, but I think ultimately it'll be forgotten. Mm-hmm. He'll probably take Twitter public someday, and he probably will make it profitable. And that's something that's obviously been hard to do.
And you guys will be looking closely at that thinking, is this an investment opportunity for our clients? And do they want to invest, or are they investing based on how they feel about where he stands at any particular time politically? So interesting conversation. Thank you guys, as always. We have a new segment now called Craig Off Script. That's coming this season.
Won't be the last time.
And we'll continue to dish up episodes here at Horse Sense Street Smart Investing, the podcast. I'm Ron Corning, everyone. Thank you for joining us. We'll see you next time. To learn more about the topics we covered in this episode, visit HodgesCapital.com. Continue the conversation on our Facebook page. And listen and download this episode and previous episodes on Apple Podcasts and on all other podcast platforms.
Hodges Capital Management Incorporated, HCM, is an investment advisory firm registered with the Securities and Exchange Commission, SEC, is a wholly owned subsidiary of Hodges Capital Holdings and serves as investment advisor to the Hodges Funds. HCM is affiliated with First Dallas Securities Incorporated, a broker-dealer and investment advisor registered with the SEC. This discussion is not intended to be a forecast of future events and should not be considered a recommendation to buy or sell any security. Past performance is not indicative of future results. Investing involves risk. Principal loss is possible. Investing in smaller companies involves additional risk, such as limited liquidity and greater volatility. No current or prospective client should assume that information referenced in this communication is a recommendation to buy or sell any security or is a substitute for personalized investment advice from your individual advisor. HCM does not provide tax or legal advice. Consult your tax or legal advisor for any related questions. All information referenced herein is from sources believed to be reliable and is provided as general market commentary and does not constitute investment advice. This material was created for informational purposes only, and the opinions expressed are solely those of HCM. HCM shall not in any way be liable for claims and makes no expressed or implied representations or warranties as to the accuracy or completeness of the data and other information. The data and information are provided as of the date referenced and are subject to change without notice.